Well, good afternoon. This is Mr. Lee, and I'm back with another series of travel talks because the last ones I did were quite well received and I've got a bit of a following. So today I'm going to talk to you about my journey to Sri Lanka, which was formerly known as Ceylon. And I went there about 18 months ago. It was the last place I went before the lockdown. So I have quite a bit to tell you on Sri Lanka, a little island, teardrop island at the south of India, known as the gem of the Indian Ocean. I'm going to play you some music from Sri Lanka. What I've chosen for you is actually the national anthem. So could you all stand, please, for the national anthem of Sri Lanka? Hope you enjoyed that. That's the national anthem of Sri Lanka, and you can all sit down again now and listen to the show. Now, Sri Lanka, I went to Sri Lanka. I spent about a month there. I went to Sri Lanka from Bangkok. You can go anywhere in the world from Bangkok, if those of you that have been following my other shows will already know that. So off I went to Sri Lanka, and I arrived in the capital city, Colombo. Now, I didn't like Colombo all that much. It was a very overcrowded city. The streets were teeming with people. I usually found myself walking on the side of the road. The traffic jams were non-stop, and it was very noisy and hard to get around. And I'm a bit of a history buff, so I went to a museum that honoured the founding father or the first prime minister of Sri Lanka. His name was Solomon Baranaike. The reason I went there was because he led the country to independence from the British. Sri Lanka has had three colonial masters, the Dutch, the Portuguese, and the British, and each one has left some sort of trace behind, but the British were the the most recent. He led them to independence in about 1948, I think it was, and he was assassinated. So I went to the museum because it told the story of Solomon Baranaika, and the clothes he wore when he was shot were there on display, along with the gun, so it was all a bit gory. Later in Sri Lanka's history, his wife went on to become Prime Minister, and then later his daughter. And Sri Lanka had the odd situation where mother was president and daughter was prime minister, both at the same time. These days, the Baranaika family are no longer involved in Sri Lankan politics, but there's another family dynasty has risen to take their place, and they're the Rajapaksa brothers. One is president, one is prime minister, and one is the minister of finance. Now, in Colombo, I explored the shops, I explored the markets, and I took a lovely walk along the waterfront. The waterfront was littered with people sitting, relaxing and reading and walking, and I like to get away from the hustle and bustle of the city, so I used to take evening walks along the waterfront, and you could buy candy, you could buy ice creams, we could just watch the sea. That was quite nice. Back at the hotel, I thought, now how am I going to get around and explore the island of Sri Lanka, the Teardrop Island, the gem of the Indian Ocean, just to the south of India? And I overheard a conversation in the hotel lobby where some people had just hired a driver with a car, and he had taken them around the island, so I hired him. Now, his name was Mr. Salmon, and he was the nicest man you could ever meet. He's probably going to be listening to this program, so I've got to say that, but it's true. Now, Salmon was not just the driver of the car. He was also, he spoke fluent English, and he understood what I wanted to see. I wanted to see nature, history, culture, and he had it all planned for me. And he cost $50 a day, and I didn't have to pay for his food or his accommodation because drivers always stay and eat free wherever we went. So he always would ask, he always called me sir, and he would always make comments like, "We will stop here, sir, and you can take photo while I take pee." Now, we set off from Colombo and we went around the island of Sri Lanka. We spent about 3 weeks doing this. At one point, he took me home to meet his wife, and she'd spent all day cooking me this lovely Sri Lankan traditional meal. And I wasn't feeling all that well that day, so I just picked around the edges, and they were both disappointed. And he said to me, "What's wrong? You didn't like the food." And I said, "I really liked the food. I just didn't have much of an appetite today." But anyway, he understood. They had a very simple house, and they grew their own vegetables. They lived in a small town near the centre of the island. Now, Mr. Salmon made sure I got a good look around Sri Lanka, so he took me through the countryside, along the main roads, up into the mountains where the temperature dropped quite significantly, and it rained and it was cold for the first time. I couldn't believe it was finally cold. I had to put on an extra layer of clothes. I went from a T-shirt to a T-shirt and a shirt. He took me into the forests. He took me into terraced farmlands where I got to see rice farming, rubber being grown, coconuts, bananas, and, of course, tea. Sri Lanka is one of the world's leading producers of tea, so he made sure I went to a tea plantation, and he took me to the Lipton's one, and I got to sit in Mr. Lipton's seat, where Mr. Lipton used to sit and admire the plantations before him. Now, I learnt that, because I like to find things out, I learnt that a tea bush can live for 80 years, and it has to be constantly pruned, and only the finest young leaves I ever picked, and a lady can pick about 30 kilograms of leaves in one day, and there they were out there doing it. Then the leaves are dried, they're graded, and they're packaged, and then they're sold, exported all over the world, and Sri Lankan tea, as you know, is highly sought after. So Lipton's Tea Factory, the museum, and I also got the lesson on how it all worked. Now, one day when we were driving around, an elephant was blocking the road, and Mr. Salmon said, "Oh, I forgot to tell you, this is a Sri Lankan road toll. A toll road, a Sri Lankan toll road." I said, "How does it work?" He said, "Well, have you got some fruits, sir?" He always called me sir. I said, "Yeah, I've got banana, apple and orange. I was saving them for lunch." He said, "Well, you're going to have to give up your banana and your apple, sir, because the elephant won't let the car pass unless we pay the bribe. And I gave the elephant the apple and the banana and the orange. Now, the elephant didn't want the orange, so it threw it back at me. And he said, take the photo, sir, while I have a pee. Wasn't that interesting? I said, yeah, well, it's the first time in my life I've ever been mugged by an elephant. Further around the corner, there was a cow blocking the road, but only with its rear end and its tail. And Mr. Salmon just tooted his horn and the cow moved gently aside. And he said, silly old cow, doesn't know how to do it. So anyway, you need to take lessons. The cow needed to take lessons from the elephant. Now, Mr. Salmon knew that I was interested in archaeological sites because all across Sri Lanka are the remnants of historic kingdoms. So he took me to several archaeological sites and he would give me a commentary. And he took me to Palanuwura and Anunranhapura. He's probably laughing at my mispronunciation. But he would get someone, if he couldn't explain the archaeological site to me, he would get someone else to do it. But they date back over 1,000 years. Now, I also took a walk along a beach and I found people drying fish on the beach. And I asked some questions about it. And what I found out was they gut the fish. Then they cleanse it out with seawater. And then they dry it in the sun one day for each side. Then they hang them up and you've got preserved fish that are quite popular and a lot of people go around munching on dried fish. So got to learn about the drying of fish. Now, Sri Lanka is quite different from India. It has its own language called Sinhalese and it's also the religion in Sri Lanka is Buddhist. So Mr. Salmon made sure I learnt all about Buddhism because I asked to. So he took me to temples where monks in orange robes were wandering about, ringing bells and chanting. He took me to monasteries. And one night he took me to a temple in the town of Kandy. He took me to a temple where there was thousands of people and they were all pushing and shoving because they wanted to see the Buddha sacred tooth relic. Well, now, I'm a bit sceptical, but I pushed and shoved along with the rest of the crowd, and the tooth wasn't actually on display, but the container that it's in was there for people to see, and people were buying flowers and putting flowers in front of the container of the holding the sacred tooth relic. After that, he took me to a place where I saw fire eating, and fire walking. Now, this is something you don't try at home. It looked like something that you really had to practice for, but guys would rake over the hot embers and then they would walk through and out the other side without the slightest difficulty and no one ever seemed to get burnt or hurt. So that was the fire eating and the fire walking. Now, I kept saying to Mr. Salmon that I would like to experience a traditional Sri Lankan Ayurveda massage. And he said, well, I know where you can get other types of massage, but I'm not sure, sir, where you could get the Ayurveda one. And I said, well, I know you can get it back in New Zealand, and I would be very interested in trying it here in Sri Lanka, because what they do is they use all these special herbal lotions. And a lot of people just go to Sri Lanka for the Ayurveda massages. Anyway, we did manage to track it down one night. There was quite a great experience. There were a lot of little huts outside in the dark under trees and you had to go to one hut for your sauna and one hut for your spa and another hut for the massage. So I was running around from hut to hut, but it was a great experience and I finally did get to experience a Ayurveda massage. Now, I also got taken to the Turtle Rescue Centre. Now, I found that a bit sad because there were dozens of turtles there who had, and they had been rescued. A lot of them had become tangled in traps or in fishing nets, and some of them had swallowed plastic bags. So some of them were in a pretty sad state. So I made a donation to the Turtle Rescue Centre, and they gave me a lesson about some of the difficulties that they face in rehabilitating these turtles. The turtles can't be put back into the wild. Their days are done. So they've got to stay there at the rescue centre, and they're like a tourist attraction. Now, every day when we went out, there was stray dogs. I think there must be a million stray dogs in Sri Lanka, and they're just allowed to wander and roam, and some of them were in a very bad state. Most of them just live on food scraps. They're all over the road. We used to drive around them. Salmon would often just toot his horn and drive around the dogs, and the dogs were never bothered by it. They just didn't even bother to get out of the way. You know, it was just, oh, here comes another car with another visitor. Let's just sleep on. Now, one of the highlights of my visit to Sri Lanka, which is a country I thoroughly enjoyed, by the way, was to go to the Yalu, Y-A-L-U, the Wailu Wildlife Park. Now, you got to take your chances when you go to an animal park because, you know, the animals really don't want you to see them. They're doing their best to hide away. But we were lucky because I got to see more elephants in the wild. I got to see a leopard. Now, that was very difficult, but I could only just make it out in the foliage. And that was a real highlight because there aren't that many leopards left in Sri Lanka. Plenty of monkeys swinging from the trees. In fact, they stole my bananas. My bag felt heavy for a moment, and I thought, I wonder what's wrong with my bag. It's suddenly feeling heavy, and then it felt very light, and I realised that the bananas that I'd just bought for lunch, the monkeys were enjoying them, and that's that for my bananas. I got to see water buffalo, pelicans, iguanas, and crocodiles. I didn't get too close to the crocodiles because the sign said, you know, they bite. So I kept away. And there were wild boars wandering around. So the Yalu Wildlife Park in the south, what is it, the southeast of Sri Lanka is well worth a visit. There were several other wildlife parks in Sri Lanka, but I was kind of thinking about going to another one, but Mr. Simon said, you know, you've seen one, you're probably not going to see any animals that are different in the other one. So that night I got to stay in the wildlife park. You could stay overnight. I think I stayed there a couple of nights in a little cabin. Now, another thing that I did in Sri Lanka was I took a boat ride through a mangrove forest. Now, that's something you don't get to do every day. And the mangrove forest was very dense, and the boat ride took us through the forest and to a sacred island. And then on the island, there was a row of Buddha statues going all the way to the top. And at the top, there was a temple. And Mr. Salmon was a devoutly religious guy. And so He did the walk, and he sort of paid tribute to each of the statues, and then he went to the temple at the end. So I found that the Sri Lankan people are very religious. It's predominantly, as I said, it's predominantly Buddhist, but there is a small Christian community, which is something that's left over from the days of the British, the Portuguese, and the Dutch. A little bit of Catholicism around, some Protestant people, a very small Muslim community, and a Hindu community. Now, in the northwest of the country are a group of Sri Lankans called Tamils. And if you know your history, you'll know that for 26 years, there was a civil war in Sri Lanka. It was quite a bitter civil war, which led to the deaths of about 30,000 people. And a group called the Tamil Tigers were fighting for separatism of their province from the rest of the island of Sri Lanka. They fought on for 26 years because they said that the Tamil people had a different cultural background and a different religion and were more closely affiliated with India than with the main body of Sri Lanka. But they fought on for 26 years, and then they finally signed a truce with the government in 2009. Now, it's quite safe to go to their part of the country now. You're not going to come to any harm. But I ran out of time, although I did go around the entire island and then crisscross and through the centre of the island into the mountains. Now, one day, there was something very different happened. I went to the site of the Boxing Day tsunami. Now, when the Boxing Day tsunami struck, it hit Sri Lanka very hard. It killed 30,000 people. They say that the waves were two stories high, and there was a monument on the shoreline to show what a two-story high wave would look like. There wasn't just one wave, there were a series of waves, and 30,000 people were killed. And all around me and for miles away, there were destroyed buildings. You know, just the floors were left, the concrete foundations, nothing left of the buildings. They wiped out, smashed, destroyed, gone. And I found the wreckage of a train. Now, there was a train was packed with people. In fact, it was overcrowded. And it was hit by massive tsunami waves. And everyone inside that train perished. And it was just swept aside. So Sri Lanka, great place to visit. I've never drunk so much tea in all my life. There was, every time I went to a tea plantation, there would be a museum, a lesson about the growing of tea, and opportunity to sample tea, and then a shop where, you know, the expectation is that you buy some tea and take it home. So I bought the tea and still enjoying it. Right, so that's a little bit about Sri Lanka. The gem of the Indian Ocean, at the little teardrop island at the south of India. If you do decide to go there, and I encourage you to do that, hire a driver with a car. It makes life much easier. Get an English-speaking driver. Negotiate the price beforehand. Give a generous tip at the end. They don't go asking for a tip, but just be kind, because they've got a wife and family to support. Most of the people speak English, makes it very easy to travel around, and it's a very cheap country. I found it really cheap. I mean, I was staying in simple accommodation, but a room with an ensuite, just a simple basic room, usually averaged out at around about 20 New Zealand dollars a night. So there you go. And the food is delicious. It's quite unique and special to Sri Lanka. Indian influences, European influences, and can be spicy. Often they give you a buffet meal, so you can pick and choose what you like. So Mr. Salmon used to take me to buffets so that you can avoid the spicy, sir. I said, no, spicy's fine with me. Right, so that's a little bit about Sri Lanka, a peaceful, prosperous, friendly island that should be on everyone's agenda once the borders reopen and we can all go out and travel again. So I hope you enjoyed my talk about Sri Lanka. And if you do decide to go there, ask for Mr. Salmon. Now, my contact details are lwilson62@outlook.co.nz. I also have a website called timelesstours.co.nz. And I've also written a couple of travel books. One is called Dear Mr. Len, and the other is called Solly Mr. Len. It's called Solly because a lot of it's set in China and they can't say the letter R. So there's my books. You can buy those. If you're interested in reading more about Sri Lanka and other places that I've been to. So I'll say goodbye for now, and I hope you'd enjoyed my talk today about Sri Lanka, the teardrop island.
Oh, no. Thank you.